This is Ozarks at Large. Just in time for the holidays, there is a lavishly illustrated children's edition of Pinocchio just out. It's translated by Jeffrey Brock, who is a creative writing professor, poet, and translator at the University of Arkansas. He recently came by the KUAF studios to discuss the project with Ozarks at Large's Katie Hendrickson. She began that conversation by asking Jeff when he first came across the tale of Pinocchio.
That's a good question, and I'm not even sure I remember. I mean, it's the sort of figure that has been around all my life. I don't remember a time before I'd heard of Pinocchio, in part because of the Disney movie, which was the first version of Pinocchio that I was ever aware of, and I think, like most people, I didn't know for a long time that was actually based on a novel by this Italian 19th century writer, and so it was much later when I figured that out.
Your edition is what everyone's saying is it rescues Pinocchio from the Disneyfication of the tale. So what are the differences between the two?
Well, there's some pretty big differences, and I actually haven't seen the movie in many, many, many years, so I'm probably going to miss a lot of them. But one of the main differences is, in general, it's darker, sort of a darker tale. Pinocchio is less adorable and more naughtier, I guess, and it's more violent, and the sort of evocation of poverty is much, much bleaker. For example, the character. Oh, and the cricket, the talking cricket, is not called Jiminy Cricket in the book. It's called the Talking Cricket. So Disney was the one that gave him the name. The other big change that Disney made to the talking cricket is let him survive, because in the book he's actually killed in the third chapter or something by Pinocchio. So that which gives you a sense of the violence of it. But of course he returns in the book as a ghost. It's a traumatic little moment in the beginning of the book.
You've translated this in an adult edition, and then this children's edition has come along later. What drew you to translating this work specifically?
Well, I've translated a number of books from Italian, and when my wife and I found out that we were going to have a kid, I started thinking more about children's literature, and it just occurred to me that I'd really like to be working on a children's book, and since I translate from Italian, the obvious children's classic is Pinocchio, and so I immediately started reading it again, and decided I would love to translate it. It's such a fun book, and I knew it would be fun to work on, which it was. And so that's what gave me the idea, I guess, is the idea of actually making a version to read to my own kids, which I have now done.
And let's go back actually to the author, and he wrote under a pen name. Tell us a little bit about him as a person and his writing. Pinocchio was first published serially, and I was just curious about the history of that.
Yeah, sure. The author's name, his actual name was Carlo Lorenzini, and his pen name is Carlo Collodi, and he was a Tuscan writer in the mid-19th century. The mid-19th century in Italy was a time of sort of civil war when the country was being united, and Lorenzini fought in the war, and Italy didn't become an independent unified state until 1870, and he started writing this book about 10 years later, and he started publishing it serially, as you said, in the first Italian magazine of children's literature, and one of the children's literature itself was in some ways a fairly new concept, at least what we think of as children's literature, and the genre really boomed in the 19th century, and so he published it in serially in this magazine, and then it came out in 1883 as a novel, and so it's about 130 years old, and it wasn't translated into English for about almost another two decades, which is when its fame really started taking off internationally. And unfortunately, Lorenzini died before it actually became internationally famous. And so he had no idea what he had created, in a way.
And why, what is the universal appeal to the story of Pinocchio? Why has it remained so much a part of the cultural fabric?
I think partly because it's so fun and he's so mischievous and naughty, and it sort of has this didactic streak, but Pinocchio himself gets so caught up in his mischief, and his mischief is so entertaining that we sort of get, I think readers sort of get to have their cake and eat it too. They get the moral lesson, but they also get to enjoy all the transgressions.
Umberto Eco has an intro, and he says, "The original Pinocchio remains as remarkable as if it had been written in the 21st century. So limpid and simple its prose, and so musical in its simplicity." I was just curious to hear your elaboration on that remark about this work.
Well, yeah, it's true. I mean, it's like I said, it's 130 years old, but it reads, it has a very contemporary sounding voice. It's just very plain spoken, and there's a real tone that still seems, in a way, modern, and that's part of what drew me to it. And it's aged well, I guess. It doesn't seem terribly dated the way some prose of that period seems.
When you were translating the work, what were the biggest challenges to taking the essence of what you saw in the Italian and making it something for English reading audiences?
Well, I think the biggest challenge is the tone, just because it's, and I think that's often the biggest challenge in a translation is the tone, and it's got to be. It sort of felt like it had to be just right. It's sort of this very colloquial sounding voice. And he's got he's from Tuscany. There are a number of Tuscanisms in the original, which give it a kind of a regional flavor in the original, which of course that the regional specificity doesn't come across, but the fact of this specific particular speaking voice is something I wanted to get across, that it sounds like somebody telling a story. And so it was just, I was just thinking about tone, mostly.
And this is a lavishly illustrated version, and we're on the radio, so listeners can't look at those images. Why don't you go ahead and discuss this illustrator and what that brings to the tale of Pinocchio?
Yeah, these are wonderful illustrations in this new edition. New York Review Books published a non-illustrated edition about 4 years ago, and this one just came out with beautiful watercolors by this Italian artist named Fulvio Testa, who is really a wonderful artist. And he had been working on these illustrations for a while already when he contacted me sort of out of the blue, because he had seen the first edition of that contained my translation, and he wanted to pair that translation with his illustrations. So we just got in touch, and he sent me some of the illustrations, and I loved them, and so we were able to work it out with the publisher. They're just really vibrant, full-page illustrations, and it's a fairly large format book, so you get a lot of detail, a lot of color.
There's a whole series of books that are put out by the New York Review. You want to talk about some of your other favorites that you like?
Yeah, they have the New York Review Books has a wonderful series of children's classics. And one of my favorites is The Magic Pudding by this Australian writer, Norman Lindsay, which is a hilarious, bizarre adventure story. They've also got a couple of John Masefield books, The Box of Delights and The Midnight Folk, a bunch of other wonderful books, often books that are now sort of semi-forgotten or ripe for rediscovery, I think. And they're also sort of beautifully made with these, again, can't show it on the radio, but they're beautiful, often beautifully illustrated and beautifully produced hardback editions.
Jeffrey Brock is a creative writing professor, poet, and translator at the University of Arkansas. He spoke with Ozarks at Large's Katie Henriksen earlier this week about his new translation of Pinocchio. The book is now available.
On this week's Generic Blues Show, we have a great selection of Christmas blues tunes, a lot of them issued this year, as well as playing a tune that Jones and Leah did right here in the studio last week. Come join the fun Friday night at 9 o'clock. The Generic Blues Show. We'll see you then.